Well, we are still in the book of the Revelation. We've made it to Revelation chapter 7. We're moving right along. Revelation chapter 7. Starting in verse 4. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. The 144,000 that are sealed will not be from the church or the Gentiles, but from the children of Israel. Father, thank you for your word this morning, and we thank you for the opportunity to spend time studying from the book of the Revelation. Now enlighten us, Lord, as we go through it, and help us to hear you, and help me, Lord, to speak what you've placed in my heart to speak. Help me, Lord, to be plain and clear according to your will and purpose. Touch us, Lord, as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Pesky fan. The tribes mentioned in Revelation chapter 7 exclude two of the original tribes, but it adds two. The tribes of Dan and of Ephraim are left out, and the tribe of Levi and Joseph are included. So God switched some things around. Some say that Ephraim and Dan are excluded because of idolatry, which would disqualify them as special servants of God. All I know is he left them out and he added two more, Levi and Joseph. Apparently, Levi, which was one of the original 12 tribes, but he did not receive an inheritance or a special land allotment like the other 11. So Levi, the tribe of Levi was the tribe of the priests, those that waited at the altar of God. They didn't receive an allotment for land like the other 11 tribes did. Here in chapter 7, the tribe of Levi is honored by being included in this list. And they're included to evangelize throughout the world. Imagine 144,000 Jews that have recognized their Messiah as Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, and set on this world to evangelize and to witness and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jews, 144,000 of them. My God, he started with just 12. Oh. Imagine 144,000 released into this world. For years, some commentators talk about 10 missing tribes. They're all over the place about the tribes of Israel. And they've said that Israel no longer has 12 tribes, but researchers are using DNA nowadays to identify the tribes that some of the Jews belong to. Jews from early tribes have been found by DNA research. Because of the centuries of intermarriage, researchers can only determine about one-third of where a Jew comes from. They can only determine about one-third of it. And so they've intermarried and they've mixed with so many other racist now that it's difficult for man to make the determination. Fortunately, this will not hinder the purposes and plans of God, who will supernaturally protect those special Jews from the Antichrist and his followers for the express purpose of winning multitudes to Jesus. Remember the angels that were set there on the four corners of the earth to stop the winds from blowing, and then there was one angel, the fourth angel came up and says, don't hurt the earth until the servants of our God are sealed, and those servants would be the 144,000. That means God is going to protect that 144,000 during the great tribulation as they evangelize this world and as they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. People are going to get saved during the great tribulation. Amen. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that these verses are talking about 144,000 of their people. But the scriptures clearly tell us that the 144,000 will come from the 12 tribes of Israel. That's listed here in Revelation chapter 7. The list excludes all Gentiles. There are no Gentiles in this list. I used to think that where it says this gospel will be preached into all the world, I used to think that it would be the church that would preach this gospel into all the world. But it can't be, because the church is not going to be here. Church is going to be out. We're going to be raptured. Well, somebody's going to have to preach it, but we're going to be in heaven at our marriage supper with our husband, you know, with our groom. And no, the Jehovah's Witnesses, that's not going to happen. Now, they might have 144,000 or something, but it won't be 144,000 from Revelation chapter 7, because they are not a part of any of these tribes. They're a Gentile organization, and God clearly says that it's going to be 12 tribes, and he specifically tells us of which tribe, and there are 12,000 from each tribe. So regardless of what ancestry DNA thing says, God will be able to determine which ones belong to which tribes. He is not thwarted by anything that happened. There are 12,000 pure-blooded Jews in every tribe mentioned in this list. Pure-blooded, unmixed, pure-blooded Jews from these different tribes. Revelation 7:9 says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Once God has sealed his 144,000, the whole world will hear the message. A great number of people will believe and be saved during the great tribulation. The Antichrist and the false prophet, of whom we'll discover and talk about later on in our study in the book of Revelation, they're going to be furious. They're going to come against this revival. They're going to attack those new believers, and they're going to try to turn them away from the faith. They will be denied food. They will be denied medicine. They will be jailed. They will be executed. There will be frequent, and these things will be numerous, that will come against these new believers. The new believers are going to have a real difficult time during the great tribulation, because the evil men and the Antichrist and the false prophet are going to come against these new believers. The number of the martyrs will be more than any man can count from these new believers. I mean, it will be a humongous number of martyrs that will die during the great tribulation. In a previous message in Revelation chapter 6, we learned of those four horsemen that were released by the opening of the four seals by the Lamb. The fourth horse was a pale horse. Y'all remember that? With his rider. and death and hell followed him. That's the two verses I had missed in our previous study. I had to come back and get those. I don't know if it was my flesh man or the devil himself that conveniently had me miss those two main chapters about death and hell following this pale horse. And power or authority was given to him over 1/4 of the world's population. And we talked about that being over a billion people. And if you think you know what a billion is, I'm going to tell you that you probably don't. It is a tremendously large number of people, a billion people. And it'd be over a billion people, 1/4 of the population. And we see 1/4 and say, okay, well, at least there's 3/4 left, but 1/4 is a lot of people. But they will have authority over 1/4 of the world to kill with sword. They can kill with hunger. They can kill with death. And they can also kill with the beast of the earth. And this man has, this writer has the authority. Sword, hunger, death, with the beast of the earth. But the purpose of this horse and rider was to hunt not those that had been raptured or saved during the tribulation period. Instead, he would hunt the great mass of people who are destined for an eternity in hell. He is hunting unsaved people. That fourth horse, he's hunting unsaved people, killing them and sending them to hell. Really bad. The great tribulation becomes a greater tribulation for them. He'll harvest the unbelievers. He'll be raking them in into hell. He'll be going through and using beasts and using disease and whatever he can to rake them and raking them into hell. A billion, over a billion souls. He just has authority to just kill them and just push them right into hell. That's what that writer had authority to do. However, in Revelation 7:9, the work of the beast and the Antichrist to harass and to eventually kill an otherwise innumerable amount of new believers will be used by God to further populate heaven. So you see, you got one that's used to rake souls into hell. But when they persecute and destroy and kill new believers, they're raking them into heaven. He thinks he's doing something, and all he's doing is killing the new believers, but they're going to heaven. One group is been sent to hell. One group is going to heaven. He's pushing them. He's helping populate heaven. Whether he knows it or not, he's helping to populate heaven, sending these people on to what you call the great beyond. And so we see that during the Great Tribulation, both heaven and hell will have numberless amounts of souls swept into them. And so both heaven and hell is going to be populated with more and more souls during this time. It will be a time of great harvest. Great harvest. These heavenly martyrs will be given white robes, which symbolize the righteousness of Jesus. They will receive palm branches symbolizing the triumphal entry into heaven, and they will stand in the presence of Jesus before the throne of God. The scripture gives us a clue to what deceased believers are like before being raised from the dead. They have some type of materiality or some type of substance. They could be seen by John. John could see them. And so these folks that are dead and folks that have gone on, they have some type of materiality. They can be seen. Their nationalities and their races, their race could be recognized. And so they will have the different races. The races, I'm black, I'm going to be black in heaven. You know, our different races will be still recognized in heaven. You can see that. They could speak. They could be heard speaking. They wore robes. You could see the robes. They had hands. Because they held palm branches, these souls, you see. And the believers, the knowledge of them and the knowledge that they will have will be greatly increased and improved in heaven. So knowledge will be increased and knowledge will be improved in heaven. Now, Revelation 7:10 says, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. This is a picture of great worship in heaven. Great worship is happening in heaven. These martyrs in heaven express thankfulness that they are saved and in heaven with God who sits on the throne and Jesus the Lamb. And so though the Antichrist gave them a hard time, they're now worshiping and praising God that they are there in the presence of God. And Revelation 7:11 says, and all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. Imagine this worship service and the enormous amount of activity around the throne. There are the tribulation saints that are there. There are the 24 elders that are there. There are the four living creatures there, along with the angels. And they're all standing around the throne, and they're having a powerful worship service. Everyone in heaven will participate in this particular worship service. Folks, so you mean to tell me we're going to be, that's all we're going to do in heaven? You're going to want to be there. You're going to want to participate in this. You're going to want, when you hear the, you're going to want to be there first. When you hear the worship start, oh, worship, let's go. Come on, don't be late. We got to be there. You're going to want to be there. It's not like folks got to drag, you know, get to church and they finally make it and they fall in the chair. they just make it, you know, and it's like, well, I don't know. I'm late. I might not go. It won't be none of that. I mean, listen, I'm not saying being critical, I'm being factual, that it's hard sometimes to come to church now. It is hard sometimes. You know, you got an old man that's standing and fight you tooth and nail to keep you from coming to this place. Sure. Tooth and nail. You get up and don't feel good, and your head hurting. And you go, man, I don't feel, oh my God. You know. And then when church is out, your headache goes. You know? How you doing? I'm feeling fine now. You see, but it's not going to be that way in heaven. You'll hear the sound of worship go up, and you're gonna want to be there. You're going to have a different body. You're going to have a different experience. God is going to put in you the ability and the desire to know more of him and worship him more. And you're not going to have an old man that's fighting against it. Our problem right now is just not the devil, but it's his agent that resides in us. Unless you know, the devil's got an agent that lives inside of every believer. He's got unfortunately, he's got office space in us. And he's got communication set up too. See? Good boy, good boy. That's good boy. Keep him down. Fight him. You see? But there's not going to be, y'all, we're headed for a great, great eternity with God. He's going to change us, and we're going to be just like him. There's not going to be any fighting and scuffling and carrying on like we do. You know, you don't have to be watching the clock. You're going to get up thinking about it. If you get up, if you get down. I don't know if it's going to be any of that. You see, it'll be different. We've already seen the four creatures before the throne. What in the world is that we're looking at? What's that? I mean, these different faces and six wings, and they're talking. The 24 elders standing around throwing the crowns down and worshiping God. Angels around giving glory to God. We already see this. My goodness. Revelation 7:12 saying, amen, and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. When the angel said amen, it showed their agreement with the tribulation saints. And this is all around the tribulation saints. Salvation is God's accomplishment. bringing souls to heaven with him. That's what he does. The angels break forth with a sevenfold declaration of worship. They say blessing and glory, wisdom, thanks, honor, power, and might all belong to God forever and ever. That's the angels are worshiping him. Imagine that. And you're in the midst of that, and the angels are worshiping, and you're looking around, and angels are worshiping. This will be your first day there. This will be your first day. You'll be looking around. I don't think you'll be looking around long, because you'll be wanting a part of what's going on around. You're going to want to fall on your face and just glorify him and just magnify him. Oh, God, thank you for who you are, and thank you for what you've done. Hallelujah to the King. You are Lord. You are Lord. Hallelujah. My goodness, what a wonderful, wonderful future we have with the Lord. What a wonderful future we have with the Lord. Revelation 7, 13 and 14 says, then when one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? In other words, where did they come from? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. One of the elders asked two questions. Who are these and where did they come from? A man by the name of Tim LaHaye said, these tribulation saints constitute a distinctive category, just as the church and Israel or the Old Testament saints form a special company. Each group has its own relationship to Christ, depending on the period of time in which these individuals were converted. That these are believers is unquestionable, in view of the fact that they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Revelation 7:15 says, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. It's a great promise of protection and rest in heaven. On earth, there is no promise of this kind of environment for the saved. That kind of promise is not there. They will be pursued. These tribulation saints will be pursued. They will be starved. They will die of diseases. And they'll be killed. There will be no escape from the Antichrist. But suddenly, they will find themselves in the throne room of God, face to face with Jesus, surrounded by angels, clothed in white robes, and protected by God. You see that quick transition? Listen, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so they'll be running and trying to escape and hiding and get caught and killed. And then, boom, they're in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll take them and they'll scourge and beat them and punch them and kick them and kill them. And they're getting hit with stones, and the final blow stone will kill them, and they'll be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It'll be from terror to home with the Lord Jesus Christ. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. They will be hounded. They will be in heat. There will be struggle. They will be hungry. They will have disease. This disease will burn and burn with fever and fever till they 110, 115, until they're just so delirious and crazy till they finally just expire and they die. And they breathe their last breath. And the next breath, they're in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Revelation 7:16, they shall hunger no more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. Once the tribulation saints get to heaven, they will never face hunger, thirst, death from starvation and poisoned water, burning by the blazing sun, or suffocation by scorching heat. God promises that in heaven, we will never, ever suffer again. Never, ever again. In 7:17, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. The Lamb who stand in the midst of the throne of God will preserve the tribulation saints. The Word of God also indicates that these people have shed many tears on the earth with harsh living conditions, terrorizing circumstances, and the loss of loved ones. But when they finally get to heaven, God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. Wonderful Jesus, y'all. He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. And so those that won't hear your witness today, those that won't accept the Lord Jesus as Savior, hopefully will accept them before they leave this earth. Hopefully, if they're alive and the Great Tribulation start, that they'll accept him during the tribulation, because it'll be a more difficult time then. But they've got these 144,000 Jews that's coming at them with the powerful, anointed Word of God. Something that is, you know, it's so difficult to resist when that Word comes forth. It's difficult. And when you got an anointed vessel that's preaching an effectual Word of God, it's difficult. It's difficult to not hear him. If you reject him, it's difficult to forget him. Because that if the God is working, he'll put that in you, and you won't forget it. You see. And so a lot of folks die, and we say, well, he didn't get saved. I hope that's wrong for a lot of folks that don't accept him when they've heard you witness, or heard you witness, Bobby, or heard what you've said or what I've said. I hope that that seed will still be in there. And just before they die, they say, Lord Jesus, like the thief on the cross, include me into your kingdom. This man was dying with Jesus. It was his last chance. You could consider it a deathbed confession, yeah, where he was, yeah, on the cross. And so does God allow deathbed confessions? I would say yes. Because he sure allowed that thief on the cross, remember me when you come in your kingdom. He said, you're going to be with me this day. You're going to be with me.
Yeah.
You're going to be with me. So Jesus accepted that man's confession. So I hold out a hope to not want to put people in hell so quickly, that hopefully they would have heard, or they would have seen something new that say, you know, that man tells me that Jesus wants something, you know, even on their deathbed. That just before they expired, they would say, Lord Jesus, accept me into your kingdom. And it would be a done deal. But this is Revelation 7 about tribulation saints. And so if there was any blurriness in your mind, the answer is yes, people will get saved during the Great Tribulation period. They will still be coming in. I had a question pop in my mind this week. I said, wait a minute. Revelation says nothing about children. Where are the children? I'm yelling, where are the children? Where are the children? Thessalonians says nothing about children. Where are the children? The Bible is pretty much silent about that. There's nothing there about the children in the tribulation. Nothing at all. And then the Lord reminded me that Jesus said, suffer the little children to come to me. For of such are the kingdom of heaven. That's as close as I got. But I kind of like that, you know. I like that. That's pretty neat. More good news. So I'm not God, but I can't see him putting a baby in hell. He's just a baby, you know. But then I'm not God, but, you know, praise the Lord. Okay, well. Thank you, Lord, for today's message, and thank you for the fellowship, great fellowship, and for the great song service that you've allowed, and for us to just be able to sing these wonderful songs of Zion. to you, Lord. We're singing to you. We're not singing to us. We're singing to you. And we pray, Lord, that you're pleased with our service. You're pleased, Lord, with the way we've lifted our voices and our hearts to you today. And we just pray that you will be blessed by our worship and our sacrifice of praise to you. Bless all those that came and those that could not. We pray a special blessing on them to strengthen and encourage them and remind them of the opportunity to gather in with the saints of God and to assemble themselves together. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.